Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Yeah. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to a Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you know what time it is. It's FSP Crew Showtime. I am the host, Jerry, a.k.a. The Master. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, and I welcome back Black, Jeff the Joker, and Black the Bookie. Jeff is my Jersey guy. Black is my D.C. guy. We're here, as always, to engage in conversation, give you information about one of the world of fantasy sports and politics. There's been some crazy stuff going on in the NFL. And all I got to say, the Cleveland Browns don't want to do this, but the Indianapolis Colts do want this.
I want winners.
And they're saying this. With the absolutely crazy trade that took place yesterday between the Indianapolis Colts and the Cleveland Browns. We're going to be talking about that and with my two co-hosts. Before we do that, then I'm going to tell you the number to call in, and then I'm going to bring my two co-hosts in. 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to either Jeff, Black, or me. We have a chat room open right now. If you want to put your comments, make a statement or whatever, a question in there, fantasy question, any type of question, you can do that also. That's for your convenience. If you don't want to get on the line and talk to us, which is fine. But without further ado, let's bring in my other two co-hosts. I'm going to say hello, Jeff, and then hello and welcome back, Black.
Hey, Jerry, Black, happy to be here.
What's going on, people? Glad to be back. Let's get into the show, man. Let's talk some football.
I got to give you applause, Black, because you haven't been here for a while. I got to give you applause. I'm really welcoming you back. Well, you guys know what I just said about what took place yesterday. A wacky-ass trade. I can't say wacky. I'm just saying it's a startling trade that took place yesterday. And like I said, Trent Richardson, the number three pick of last year's draft, the 2012 draft that Cleveland pulled out, Trent Richardson, got traded to the Indianapolis Colts. Yes, I said to the Indianapolis Colts with Andrew Luck, who was the number one pick in the same draft. So guess what, people? They got a number one quarterback with the number one pick in last year's draft. And they got a number one pick running back, which was the third pick of last year's draft. That's simply amazing. What they had to give up, not three, not four, not two picks, only one pick, the number one pick for next year to Cleveland. That's simply amazing. I got a little clip here. I want you guys to listen to this. And then we'll get into a discussion on what the is going on with Cleveland.
Pat, Kurt, not only has Trent Richardson been traded, what Browns sources have told me, they just didn't think that he fit what Chud's offense was. They thought, obviously, he's a good running back, but not for what they do in offense. However, they are also telling me they're bringing in Willis McGahee if he passes the physical, they will sign Willis McGahee to Cleveland Browns.
Anybody shocked as I am?
Oh, totally.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Totally shocked. I mean, isn't Chud's offense Norv Turner's offense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think of Emmett Smith in Norv's offense, and I was talking to Emmett up at the Tahoe golf tournament, and Emmett, I think he and Trent went to the same high school, Richardson. And Emmett said, you know what, I was really good in high school. I've been watching this dude. He's way better than I ever was. Now we know why Carolina didn't value the running game last year with Chudzinski. Hey, this guy fits in any offense.
Yeah, hey, forget about Cleveland, though. For Indy, this is awesome.
Huge.
I mean, now you got Ahmad Bradshaw and Trent Richardson back there. Pretty good tandem.
Yeah,
he's one of the best running backs in the NFL, in my opinion. Number 3 pick in the draft. Good rookie year. I couldn't believe when you told me, Jeff. I was like, what? Are you serious?
The sky is the limit. And, again, it's kind of hard to bail on a guy with that much of a future this early
but
in his
career.
But it shows
you what happens when you have regime change.
Mm-hmm.
You bring a new front office in, a new coaching staff, and they go, that guy's a good player, but apparently they don't believe he fits what they want to do.
Yeah, that's stinking thinking right there. Forget that. I feel so bad for the Browns fans. What about the fans?
And they just texted me also that they're probably going to go buy a running back by committee now up there in Cleveland as well.
You know what it also shows you? When you get a franchise quarterback,
yeah,
like Andrew Luck, you do everything you can to build around him. Jim Irsay's been calling on people.
Yep.
He wants him protected better. Well, we just talked about it with Sean Payton, having said a quarterback's best ally, a good running game. So they go get Trent Richardson.
How good are they going to be now?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be so much better than just throwing him on the offense. He's powerful.
Right. And I think because he's now, Trent Richardson is in that offense, he's now able to really grow. Everything doesn't have to be put on his shoulders.
You know, and the thing is, you look at it, you wonder if this will spur him, because he's a good player.
Right.
We all know that. He's had some health issues here, been banged up a little bit in the NFL. Not saying that he can control that. But by going to a good team, it's amazing how guys get healthy all of a sudden when they get other good players around them and they don't have to take the pounding that they had to take on a bad team.
Right.
Yeah, he's going to be asked to play a role, not save the team.
Right.
He's got a quarterback. He hasn't had a quarterback in Cleveland yet, so he's got a quarterback who can throw the football. Go ahead, Jay.
And Ahmad Bradshaw. What a great guy for him to learn from. Ahmad Bradshaw, we've talked about him. He is about as tough as you get. And what does Ahmad Bradshaw do? Probably better than anybody else, play through those injuries.
Yeah,
he understands the difference about being hurt and being injured. That's something that Trent Richardson needs to learn.
Okay, I don't know. That was Jay Glazer and also Brian Urlacher. Two of those commentators that were in that discussion. I'm going to go to my esteemed guy in D.C. first before we go to Jeff. Your comments on this trade and the ramifications for each team, Cleveland and Indianapolis, Black.
Well, when I first heard the trade, I had to check all my sources because I didn't believe it. It was a Tuesday or Wednesday. Late afternoon, and it's breaking news. I see Trent Richardson across the wire. I said, this has to be some type of hoax going on, right? Somebody's gotten the ESPN and all these outlets and feeding them a false story, and then it was actually true. And then I said, wow, I had to really sit back and try to analyze the thinking of the Cleveland brain trust. I know what Indy was thinking, but I really had to sit back and see. And I said, well, it looks like it's going to be a tank job for the season. They got rid of the running back. I'm sure that the new regime is not happy with Whedon. You look at the quarterbacks that's coming out this year, Bridgewater, Brent Hundley down there in UCLA, possibly Manziel, even though I don't think he'll be a high draft pick. I'm saying, okay, Cleveland is more in the future now to get the future later. They might package that. Maybe that pick goes anywhere from 20 to 32 as they get from Indianapolis. They'll probably package that with a second round pick to move up to the first round and maybe try to get a guy like Clowney, maybe try to get another hot running back. Who knows? They're rebuilding that whole offense down there. This is great for Indianapolis. You got two young guys who can learn together. That's how you always want to start. This is how you can form a triplet combination like Dallas in the 90s. You have your running back in place now. You have your quarterback in place. I don't know which one of those receivers are going to break out there. But in hindsight, this move is actually great for both franchises in the long run.
Jeff.
You know, I was laughing. I had the same response as Black. I mean, I was like, when I first saw the email, I was like, Mr. Spock. I'm like, this is illogical. You know, I'm like, this makes no sense. You know, I mean, I really, and then I'm thinking, no, they must maybe Indy throws something. And a lot of reasons it didn't make sense. I mean, and right off the bat, I mean, yeah, he's well compensated, but he's still flesh and blood. Trent Richardson heard about this on the radio. Can you imagine? He'd be like, get out of here. He must have at first been in shock. He's like, I didn't even just get traded. And then once it sunk in, he was probably doing backflips, you know. I mean, it's horrible that he had to find out on the radio. I mean, worse things have happened, but, you know, you think they could send a man a text message or something? And then I'm thinking through it, and it's like, I don't think there's been any off-the-field problems with Richardson. I mean, his yards per carry aren't that great, but that's what happens when you're the running back on a last-place team, you
right.
know, and you have a lousy quarterback. So, and sometimes I think... And I think Richardson's showed enough that he is a legitimate, good NFL running back, because sometimes a guy like him, who, you know, a running back from an elite team like Alabama and all his linemen are future NFL guys, it kind of inflates their value. They look great in college, and then you realize almost anybody could, you know, pound a rock behind a line like that. And, you know, I think that does happen sometimes, you know. But he showed enough last year that, you know, he's legit. And then, of course, I mean, I don't like it. It does not look good to trade away star players. I mean, in the NFL, there's not a lot of trades, especially not for star players during the season. I mean, if Cleveland was 0-8 and they made it at the trade deadline, I could kind of see it maybe. But, I mean, come on, the season just started. I mean... And you think they could have gotten more than just a first-round pick? Because sometimes when a team trades their next year's first round, it's almost like they're saying, hey, we believe in ourselves that we're going to have a good season and it's going to be a late pick. I mean, that could be pick 20, pick 25. Who knows? It could, you know, and it doesn't look like they're getting good value because Richardson was a top-five pick. And now you got the fantasy ramifications, which don't make me happy because I got Richardson on one team. So I got to bench him this week because I don't think he's going to get a lot of carries his first game as a Colt. And on the same team, I got Ahmad Bradshaw, and his value is going to go down the toilet. It looks like they're going to replace him with the two backups in Cleveland, and plus they're signing McGahee. Whoop-dee-doo, McGahee was so good he couldn't even get invited to training camp. I think they're just signing him because he's a name and to keep the fans, you know, whatever. I tell you, I don't like the new regime in Cleveland. I know when it's a new management, they want to, you know, bring in their guys and whatever. But part of it is you got to make the most of what you got. You don't trade away your best player.
All right.
I don't like it. I'll tell you, ever since Cleveland came back to the league, I mean, they, you know, the deal was they'd put a new team in Cleveland and they'd have the same name, the same colors, but they've had lousy ownership and lousy management and lousy teams. I think they've made the playoffs once since 1999. And, you know, it's just, I mean, 0-2, and then boom, making a deal like that, I tell you, it could get ugly, and I feel very bad for the Cleveland fans.
So they got Michael Lombardi as the one of the executives in the office, and they also have Joe Banner.
He did so well with the Raiders, right? Isn't Lombardi from the Raiders? Because they were a real powerhouse when he was running things over there, or trying to run things.
And they also have Joe Banner, who used to be with the Eagles. So and then Chazinski and Norv Turner. And when Chazinski was in
Carolina.
He had a three-headed monster in a running game because he couldn't make up his mind who he wanted to be the main back there. And now he says that this guy isn't the guy for this offense. And I find it hard to believe with Norv Turner, who's supposed to be my favorite coach, Norvell Turner, an offensive guru, and you tell me that This is not the type of running back that you want that can catch the ball out of the backfield, that can run in between the tackles and also run on the outside to get to the edge. And he's not the back for you. When I heard this, I was completely stunned. I got five texts from different people telling me that this had taken place, and I had to go online and check more than one site to believe it, because there was no way that a back like Trent Richardson, which a back like him, they don't come that often. I mean, he's got size, he's got speed, and you trade him away for, and you just get, and I'm not just saying just, but you get a number one pick. Okay, that number one pick could be anywhere between 1 and 32. So, and more than likely it's not going to be 1, not what the team Indianapolis has. So, you're, I don't know. It boggles my mind that we have one more caller in here. And I do believe I know who this is. Mikal, we're talking about, first of all, welcome to the show. We're talking about what took place in the NFL yesterday, a trade that was mind-boggling to a lot of people except for the front office of Cleveland, a trading away their supposedly franchise running back to Cleveland.
Oh!
You never heard this?
What? No, this is new news.
Where you been the past 24 hours?
Wait a minute. Just sit down for a minute.
Wait a minute. Before you get into all that, this is where I've been for the past couple days. I don't know if you gentlemen knew that the building where the shooting just happened. That was my old job. The gentleman, Arthur Daniels, that was there, they got killed, they got shot. I hired him. I handpicked her. It's been real, you know, it's been rough. I've been, like, catching up and talking to folks and stuff like that. I ain't mean to come in and do a Debbie Downer, but I did want to give a shout-out to all them families that that went through this tragedy, man. It's just crazy.
Wow.
But, yeah, that's where I've been at, bro. That's where I've been at.
Okay. Well, I hope you're sitting down. This is what happened. This is the deal. Yesterday, the Cleveland Browns sent Trent Richardson to the Indianapolis Colts in exchange for 2014 number one pick.
What?
Yes. Your comment.
They just sent him out of there.
He's gone, man.
What?
Yep.
What was he hurt too much? What they just?
No. Supposedly, and they're saying it wasn't, but supposedly that he didn't fit what they were trying to do. And it was. Let me put it this way. Last year in the draft was a different regime. This year they have a new coach, new offensive coordinator, new general manager, and new president of football operations. So they have four different guys that weren't there. The whole coaching staff, basically, that wasn't there last year. That wasn't involved in picking Trent Richardson number three in the first round. They're saying that the pick last year they didn't agree with. It didn't fit what they wanted to do going forward. So they decided to ship him off to get a 2014 number one pick. So they have two picks for next year in 2014.
Well. I mean, well, they got two picks, and they gonna go ahead and rebuild. Oh man, this don't make no sense. But the Colts getting out like fat rats.
Yeah, they are.
So they got Andrew Luck. Now they got Trent Richardson. And, you know, Trent don't have to do that much work down there because that's Luck's team, you know. And, this is surprising. This is really surprising. Really surprising for them to take and roll the dice like that and just roll the dice on the future and just, you know, basically pack it in for this year. Wow. Wow. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to argue with them, you know, to say that, you know, he doesn't fit in to what we're trying to do. But it's hard not to argue with because, you know, like I said, they ain't doing nothing. What are they doing? You got Orville up in there. You know, he should be able to get something out of Richardson. Look, I mean, that was the original thing.
They got rid of our boy, Joshua Cribbs.
Yeah. It was his time, though. He's been down there a long time, bro.
But could you imagine with Richardson and Cribbs, if they originally let him play his quarterback position, and with the ring option being the hot thing now, you know what I'm saying?
Ooh.
Man.
Ooh, that would have been a little nasty.
Yeah.
That would have been a little nasty.
The overall thought, supposedly, in getting this additional number one pick. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they have two number ones, two number twos, two number threes, and I think maybe two number fours, if I'm not mistaken. Or I may be wrong in number ones or twos or whatever. But they do definitely have two number ones. I do believe they have two number twos. I know they have two number threes, and I'm pretty sure they have two number fours. So they have a lot of picks in the first four rounds to play with, supposedly this class that's coming out is quarterback rich. So in fact, they don't believe in Brandon Whedon because that was the prior regime. This weekend, Brandon Whedon's hurt. Jason Campbell was supposed to be the backup to Brandon Whedon, but they're going to the third-string quarterback, Brian Hoyer, to start this week.
Wow.
Yes.
They just like, you know, forget all these dudes. Forget this year. We're going to bring in our people. Wow.
And Josh Gordon, who's their number one wide receiver, is due back this week because he was serving a two-game suspension. So he's due back this week, not with Brandon Whedon, but with Brian Hoyer. And I see
heavy doses of double and triple teams in his future.
Yeah, I saw in a couple of sites that there's a possibility because he's on his third strike, I think it's a year suspension, that there may be a possibility of him being shipped out by the late October trading date. So,
here's an interesting trade. I wanted to know what you guys thought. When this went down, I immediately went into my sports group on Facebook, and they brought up a disgruntled Michael LaShore for Josh Gordon trade. What did you think about that?
It all depends if Michael LaShore can is one of the back that can fit into what Chudzinski and Turner want to do. If it does, then it's a decent trade, and it's a huge coup for Detroit. They essentially have two number one wide receivers because Josh Gordon is no slouch, and with a quarterback with Matthew Stafford thrown to him on the other side of Calvin Johnson, that's a hell of a duo to go up against. Jeff, your thoughts?
It traded Michael LaShore for who?
Josh Gordon.
Oh, okay. That probably would be a good trade for Detroit. But, I guess they got Joe Gigbell and you know, they got that perpetually banged up Reggie Bush, you know. But I guess, you know, but what's the name? The other receiver, Burleson looks like was having a comeback season on the other side, and Ryan Broles is getting ready to come back from injury. And mm-hmm. I think the Lions like that guy, you know. I'll tell you, Cleveland's mm-hmm. had some lousy receivers the past few years. Greg Little hasn't taken off yet, and then they had Massaquoi for a couple of years. That guy was awful, you know. I mean, he was so bad, like you could be like in a 16-team fantasy league and nobody wanted him on their bench. You know what I mean? That's bad, you know. And there have been some years where, you know, Cleveland was so bad, you didn't want any of those guys on your fantasy team, which even a last-place team, there's one or two guys who are roster-worthy. And even Cleveland struggled to have, you know, one or two guys who are roster-worthy. But, you know, it's funny, you know, trades are not common in the NFL, especially during the season. They say Josh Freeman wants to be traded. I mean, come on. Especially a quarterback, you're going to bring him in the middle of the season? Because it sounds like the Buccaneers are having a little mutiny against Greg Schiano. I'm curious how that'll turn out.
He better be careful asking about these trades. Cause he could be shut down in Jacksonville, and nobody wants that.
Yeah. But I think the union might complain if you get traded to Jacksonville.
Well, let me put it this way, and this is just my opinion. Okay, I think the biggest woes in Jacksonville is because they don't have a decent quarterback. I think they have pieces in place, but because the quarterback play is so horrible there, that it makes the whole team look bad. They have some decent, I'm not outstanding, but they have some decent wide receivers. They do have a very good running back when he's healthy. Lately he's been getting hurt, but when he's healthy, he's a very good running back. And their defense is really not that bad. I mean, it's not top flight, but it's not bad a defense. It's just that the quarterback play was so horrible that other defenses, when they come up against them, can load the box against their running back and shut down their offense. I think a decent quarterback, a very good quarterback, would make a difference. Now, I'm not saying Josh Freeman is a very good quarterback because he's highly inconsistent. That's one of the reasons why he may not be long for Tampa Bay, especially if they keep on going the way they are going, as bad as the season. Mike Glennon may get in there very soon, and Josh Freeman will be holding a clipboard. So I don't know if they're going to wait until next year, meaning Jacksonville, to try to pull another supposedly franchise quarterback out of a supposedly strong quarterback class, or try to recycle a quarterback that may not be long for a team that he's in now. So there's just some pretty good backup quarterbacks that are back behind some players that, if they got a chance, could flourish. So we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's amazing that this is only week two in the NFL and so much turmoil. They already said that Revis had a cleaning out or whatever, an airing out of ways with Greg Schiano down in Tampa Bay over the last few days. I mean, this is only week two. Week two in the NFL season.
I do not
season.
Like that coach down there, man. I don't know how many times I got to say it on this show, but I do not like Greg Schiano.
Hey. He's a made man. Schiano.
Schiano? Yeah, well, whatever. He can be made all he wants. I'm down here in D.C. He can come find me if he wants. Yeah, how made he is. He is a dope. He is a dope. Dope.
Well, we have to wait and see what happens. I mean, like I said, this is only week two, and you've had a huge trade. You've had turmoil going down in Tampa Bay, And I'm trying to think what else is that I heard over the last few. You got running backs getting hurt left and right. Ray Rice has got a hip flexor, and he may not play. Steven Jackson's out for this week. He's not going to play. Your boy Dez has got a stiff back. He may be limited. Larry Fitz is got a hammy, and he's in and out. He was took himself out of the game last game, and he may not be ready to play. You got a lot of things happening, and this is only, like I say, week two. I can't imagine the next 15 weeks what's going to happen in the NFL if this is only week two. And now tonight, and this is a great segue, tonight we have an old coach going to his old team on Thursday Night Football, meaning Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs coach now, going to play Chip Kelly in his high-powered offense in Philly on the Thursday night game. And along with that, which is pretty ironic, that Donovan McNabb is going to get his, I think, number retired tonight also. You guys' thoughts? What's that?
That's a McNiblet.
So we'll have to wait and see what the game just started about 13 seconds ago. And quite naturally, everybody's talking about Chip Kelly's offense. And really not talking about his defense, because the defense has been torched the last few weeks. Even though they won the first one, San Diego, which I never would have thought, came into town into Philly last week in the home opener and took it to Philly. And pulled out a win in the last few seconds. You guys' thoughts on this game and Andy Reid coming back? I'll go to Black, then Jeff, and then McCap.
Oh man, this should be an easy win for Andy Reid, because the NFC East as a whole sucks right now. But this is a short it's a short week. So we'll see how Kansas City operates, but Andy Reid and those guys should be able to get this done.
All right.
Who's up? Yeah, I think me. Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I guess it is a big deal because, you know, Andy Reid was in Philly for so long. But these types of things happen in the NFL all the time because the players and the coaches move around so much. You know, this is maybe a bigger deal than most, but, you know, these kind of things happen all the time. I'll tell you, I think the players in Philly liked them. I think from what I heard from sources, the fans, a lot of the fans would have liked to see Reid go a couple years earlier, but management waited until he had a really bad year and then let him go. I mean, he's got three guys on the Chiefs roster who played for him in Philly. But then I heard, this is a high number, he brought 14 non-players with him to Kansas City as assistant coaches and front office and whatever. That's a lot of folks. You know?
That is a lot.
And that's common, too, you know. And mm-hmm. sometimes if a guy's under contract and, you know, to accept the head coaching job, they'll say, yeah, you could take the job, but don't take anybody with you. You know, that's the big fear. They don't want somebody gutting a whole staff. And the story I heard about the 14 people, they didn't go into detail because, you know, maybe some of these people could have been, I don't know, ticket guy or something, or, you know, equipment guy, you know. I'm not sure, you know, who all that staff were. I just thought that was a big number. But, you know, I think Reid is one of the few NFL coaches who comes across as a nice guy, you know.
Yep.
And the thing is, yeah, you know, I knew a guy who spent a lot of time in Philly, and he said, wow, sorry, that's me. Somebody's having a drag race outside my apartment. but, you know, I don't know. It's you know, sometimes you root for a nice guy to win once in a while, and you know, he certainly had his personal tragedy with his son. And then some people don't come across as likable, like Greg Schiano. But you know, I kind of like Schiano, but I think the thing is, you know, he's considered to be a college coach, even though in the 90s he was an assistant with the Bears for 3 years. But it wasn't like he was winning championships. I mean, he couldn't even win the Big East. But he did resurrect Rutgers, for what it's worth, and it's very difficult to do that. So, but, you know, winning cures everything. If Tampa wins a couple games, then you stop hearing about this nonsense. But it's always, you know, the perception if, you know, that these college coaches don't relate as well to guys who are getting paid on the books, you know. So, but I'll tell you, that's just, I'm still blown away. Game one, Tampa against the Jets. That Tampa offense was so sloppy. It was like they never practiced together before. If anybody saw that game, it was crazy. I mean, they couldn't even line up and get a playoff without a penalty. I've never seen anything like it for an NFL team. That doesn't make any sense. And I'm actually one of the few people who likes Freeman. He had a good stretch last year, but it doesn't look like he's the guy. I don't know if Glennon is. But I guess, you know, there's 14 games to go, so got to stay tuned.
Great. All right. Who's in? Nick Cow?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. When I was watching the game and Philly fumbled the ball on a punt and Kansas City recovered, they weren't able to get six out of it, but they got three. So it's 3-0 up on this game.
Okay.
It's really interesting to see how many people he brought with him over to Kansas City. I just think that's, you know, that's just the type of guy he is. You know what I mean? I don't look too much into that or whatever. The Eagles look much better than I thought they would look. You know, I'm really a little bit in awe at them a little bit, because they just took it to my skins or whatever.
Everybody's going to be taking it to your skins.
Yeah, I don't think that. I just think that they need to, you know, I think they just need to gel up a little bit, because, you remember they were 3-6 before they started, you know,
I don't remember anything last year except Baltimore Ravens hoisting that trophy. So if you're trying to convince me about something else, forget about it.
Oh, I ain't trying to convince you about something else, but we did beat them too. But anyway. But yeah, I would agree with you that the entire NFC East just sucks right about now. It is just, I don't know. And now looking with Cleveland, with the way they are, that division looks terrible. But Andy Reid should have a good season here or whatever. They starting off pretty good on the Eagles right now. But I'm gonna take a wait and see approach. You know, he is a good coach, but you know, sometimes he gets a little bit pass happy. So he'll probably develop something else going on here at the Chiefs. You know, he's gonna change it up. But this should be a pretty good game.
Anybody want to give me a prediction on who wins this game? Anybody? You can just jump right up and tell me.
It's so tough early in the season because, you know, Philly looked unstoppable during first half of the first game, and they came back down to earth week two, and they're still learning that offense, and, you know, the fans are still trying to figure out who's who, and that's what makes the early season, you know, so tough. And I don't know. I give a slight edge to Philly, I think, tonight.
Anybody else? I'm gonna jump up.
I give the edge to Philly, but I wouldn't be surprised if Andy Reid gets it done. Because I need heavy doses of Jamal Charles. I'm going fantasy.
Mikal.
Yeah, I would agree. Philly has a slight edge here. But, you know, Andy's got a little something to prove here. But I don't know how that translates to the players on the field. You know, the players make the plays. The players win the games. Coaching is just that, coaching, you know. It's just that. So, yeah. Touchdown. Interception. Michael Vick just threw his interception. Chiefs caught it. Touchdown. 10-0.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So I think I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm switching my pick. I'm going with the Chiefs.
and unfortunately, everybody that's on here now is going to say I'm jumping on the bandwagon, but I think I like the Chiefs in this game. I think they have the better talent. I understand they have Vic, they have DeSean Jackson, they have LeSean McCoy, but.
Andy Reid knows what all those guys do. So.
I think the defense is much better. Obviously, it just showed up. The defense is much better than Philly's, even though Philly came out guns a-blazing on defense. They are who we thought they were later on in this game. When all the emotion goes out of it, they're going to revert back to what they usually are, and that's a very bad defense with a very good offense. So that Chip Kelly offense, in my opinion, has to score a lot of points for the simple reason their defense is not able to stop anybody on a consistent basis to hold a team down to a respectable score. So they have to score a lot in order to make up for what they lack on defense. Go ahead.
I don't see how they're going to be able to keep up this pace over 16 games, man. I mean, because watching them against the Skins, man, them dudes was cramping up on offense like crazy. I mean, the scheme looks very good. You know, it looks, you know, hellified to deal with if they get it running right. Because it looks like a hybrid between a New England offense with Peyton Manning, because they were just like, you know, coming out, lining up and throwing it. That's it. So it's something to deal with, but, you know, but over 16 games, I don't know, man. I don't know. These dudes going to be falling down. They crabbing up, hurt, all that kind of carry those. I don't know what's up with that. I don't know what's up with that.
All right. Well, also I want to talk about this. This is one of my other favorite coaches. He used to coach in Arizona. He now is the offensive coordinator for a very bad offense. They got beat by the Titans and got beat by the Bengals that are 0-2. Have a very good coach, but I don't think they're too happy with the offensive coordinator. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
We had
talked earlier before the year started that we were saying that the defense was old and that they would have problems and not be the same Pittsburgh Steelers that they've been in the past. Well, even though the defense may have problems, it seems like the offense has even bigger problems. They lost their all-pro offensive center, and what was a porous offensive line is even worse. And Ben Roethlisberger has no time to make a decent play. I want whoever wants to jump in first. In fact, I'll say it like this. I'll talk to Jeff first, have him jump up there, and then Black and then Mikal. Give me your opinion of what you've seen, and I'm pretty sure you guys have seen Pittsburgh play the last two games, and Antonio Brown, their diva wide receiver. It's always a wide receiver that's angry as hell displeased of what the offense is doing and him not getting any touches. So I'm going to go to Jeff, go to Black, and then Mikhail on your comments on how bad and what do you think what's in the future for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Excuse me. I'll tell you that, you know, the thing is, you know, you get used to a team like Pittsburgh winning, but, you know, teams win because they have talent, not because they got a decal on the side of the helmet. And, you know, this is not the Steelers of a few years ago. That offensive line is pitiful, so none of those running backs are going to do much. And they lost the deep threat, the 60-minute man, Mike Wallace. And, you know, Roethlisberger looks picked off. But I'm telling you, talk about a decline in fortune. I mean, he wins two Super Bowls earlier in his career, and now he's with a team that'll be very lucky to break 500. And this is, you know, one of the historic franchises and a very popular franchise all over the country. But, you know, it's tough to win year after year. And the head coach, Tomlin, who looks like Omar Epps, like George Carl looks like John Lithgow. You know, these are famous lookalike coaches. And I mean, for him, at least the Pittsburgh ownership has a track record of not being in a hurry to fire coaches. So hopefully for him, he'll get a chance to rebuild a little to save his job. And people forget, but Cowher had a couple back-to-back losing seasons. It was a 7-9 and a 6-10, but he got a chance to get it back together. So, you know, hopefully that could happen for Tomlin in Pittsburgh.
Black.
Yes. If he keeps this thing tied to Tar Heel, it's going to be a definite nightmare. The Pittsburgh definitely needs Heath Miller back in the worst way. But I don't see what they can do. That offense is terrible.
And Mikhail?
I think Black said it perfectly. They look terrible. They look terrible. But it's no doubt in my mind that this franchise will get it together. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but look for them to fight some. They're still gonna look sucky or whatever, but for them to fight some more the rest of this year, look for them to build it up, and they're gonna stick behind this coach, you know, because he's already proven his worth. You know, you gotta get some time to rebuild it. You know, they've got a lot of old players on this team that they just need to. You know, they just need to refresh and rebuild. And no doubt in my mind that they will probably take them another two, maybe three to get it together. But this year, it don't look good.
My next question, okay. Tomlin's been there for a while, for a little bit. They're historically don't change coaches. Don't come to rasp decisions and make changes to coaches. But they didn't make the playoffs last year. And if they don't turn it around this year, they're 0-2. And chances are like less than 20%, I think it's around 15, 13%, that a team that starts off 0-2 does not make the playoffs. So they're 0-2 right now, and they still have offensive line issues. The defense is old. And there's disgruntlement with the offensive players, with the offense going forward. Who goes here, and how soon? Does the offensive coordinator, do they change the offensive coordinator? Do they change the offensive philosophy? Or if they change the offensive coordinator, or is, and I know McCall said it, but it looks like things are starting to unravel in Pittsburgh, and that could be falling on the head coach. So is Tomlin's in jeopardy? I know they're stable. I know that one of the franchises that don't get rid of coaches quickly. but this could be an exception if they see things going sour and him losing the locker room. Talk to me. I'm going to go to Black, then Jeff, then McCall.
I think Tomlin's safe, like the Joker brought up earlier. You know, they let Kyle slide with a couple of bad years, and he got it back together. I think they really need to let that offensive coordinator go, though. Just come in with a different philosophy. I know they like to run the ball, and that doesn't seem to be working right now. Heath Miller will be back soon. That'll be a Band-Aid for him, but there's a loss of pounds. He definitely hurt. But I would think switching the coordinators would be good right now. I think Tomlin is safe.
You know, I mean, the thing is, Tomlin isn't the one making the draft picks and who hasn't, you know, put some new blood into that defense. You got to look at the GM, whoever's doing that, because most coaches, they don't, you know, acquire the personnel. So, you know, you can't put it all on Tomlin. And last year, you know, they missed, a lot of guys missed games because of injury, but just, you know, you should gradually, you know, try to keep your defense young and whatever. I mean, you don't want to give up on guys too soon. But late last year, that defense looked horrible. And I think they had 8 guys over 30, which is young in real life, but for football's old. But if you, you know, you do it gradually, and this is what the good teams do, you know, every year or two, you know, they're bringing in one or two new guys. So this way it's not like all of a sudden they got like 8 old guys to replace and then they have to really start from scratch. And that's what the good teams do. It's like a seamless transition. But it seems to me like Haley seems to, you know, maybe it's the players, but it seems like he doesn't seem very popular with players when he's a coordinator. Seems like this is a common issue, guys having trouble with dealing with him. I'm not sure if it's his system or it's just him. But and then the thing is, you change coordinators, then everybody's got to learn a new offense all over again. But you know what? This offense is so bad, it would be an improvement maybe. So, but that does set you back if, you know, you're constantly changing coordinators. And that's, you know, I think what hurts the development of a lot of players, and it hurts some teams if, you know, like you see situations, they got like 3 coordinators in 3 years, and then you wonder why these guys don't know what to do, you know? So, but, you know, you don't keep a guy around just because you don't want to make a change, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just don't see what's so great about Haley, but whatever, so.
Go ahead, Mikhail.
I'll play.
Ben.
Yeah, I just thought that I just think that the Steelers they have changed coordinators. What they've changed offensive coordinators a few times. The only thing that's been consistent is that defense. You know, that defense has been the same defense for almost 20 some odd. So I think that this.
You're breaking up, man. You're breaking up, Mikhail.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know if you're moving around or you're in a spot where you're maybe in a basement or whatever, but you're breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Yeah. What I was saying was, you know, I really don't think that this will fall on Tomlin just yet. You know, the defensive scheme, you know, is proven to work. So I think they just need to get the players. You know, they're just getting older. You know, they started the process. I do believe that they started their process a little bit late. You know what I mean? But
right.
I think they were just trying to squeeze the. I think they were just trying to get squeeze out of the orange. Then they thought they could get out. You know what I mean? That's all. And, I don't know if changing that offensive coordinator again would do, because I know they've switched it up a few times since Tomlin has been there. So I don't know how much help that's going to be. I know that they were trying to protect Roethlisberger a little bit more and trying to get him, you know, to get rid of the ball a little bit quicker. But, you know, that's just not his game, man. That's not his game. Big boy like to move around in that pocket, find somebody, and, you know, that's just how he plays. He's going to get hurt, but that's how he plays.
And the thing about it, 2 years ago, before Haley came, Bruce Arians was there, and it was more of a pass-happy offense. Last year, they hired Haley, which I couldn't understand because they said they wanted to run the ball more. Well, Todd Haley is not the type of offensive coordinator that runs the ball a lot. He's a passing type of offensive coordinator also. So that's,
right.
In my opinion, it was fitting a square peg into a round hole trying to do that. And there was rumblings last year that Roethlisberger wasn't happy with Haley, that there's some type of discourse. I got to believe that because they're 0-2, besides Antonio Brown being disgruntled, I got to believe even though Roethlisberger may put on a happy face, they may be displeased with the play calling of the offensive coordinator, meaning Todd Haley. I thought it was a bad fit when they got him last year, and it's just reconfirming. They didn't make the playoffs last year, and more than likely they won't make the playoffs this year unless they have a huge turnaround. And if that happens, they're going to be shopping for another offensive coordinator because it's not fitting and to make wholesale changes to the whole squad, in my opinion, too. So with that being said, we got like 3 minutes left in the show. What's up?
Michael Vick just threw an extremely beautiful pass and got whacked, but he threw a touchdown.
To who?
10-7.
To who?
Avant.
Jason Avant? Okay. Okay. I wish it was Deshaun Jackson, but that's okay. Whatever. 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 I happen to be going against one of my teams. I happen to be going against the guy who has Michael Vick.
These fools try to go for the 2-point conversion.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah, and it failed.
Okay, so it's 10-6. So it's 10-6. Okay. Well, I mean, it is what it, you know that doesn't make any sense. Not this early in the game. That makes no sense. Anyway.
What in the world? Yo, they had like this crazy formation. They had the center all by himself. Probably like dudes all the way at 2, and then in the back door.
You're breaking up again. You're breaking up again, man.
Shit. Damn it.
Okay.
Yeah, they had this crazy formation on that play, too. They had like six, looked like maybe four or five. They had the center all by himself. Then they had like maybe like four guys to the left of him all up down with maybe like two guys behind those four. And then maybe like three guys on the other side of the center. And they hiked it, but they didn't hike the ball straight back. They hiked it diagonally to one of the guys in the backfield on the left, and the play still got stopped.
Okay.
That was crazy. I never seen anything like that.
The center is an eligible receiver if he's on the end of the line. Once in a while, somebody will dig that up as a trick play.
Yeah, that's Chip Kelly coming from the college ranks, doing something like that. All right, guys, we got less than a minute. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. I want to welcome back Black and to back to the show. Tune in next week, same time, same place. 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, be the FSP Crew Show. We'll be talking about, football.
We'll be talking fantasy football, and we have Mike Reed is coming back on the show. It'll be on between 8:30 and the 9 o'clock hour. We're talking about his upcoming fight, October 18th for the Keystone Arena.
Okay. That next week?
Next week.
Okay. Good deal. All right. Mike Reed, he was on the show. He self-promotes himself, right?
Yeah, Mike, yes, indeed, Reed. This is the boxer. You're thinking about my good boy Ty Barnett. But this is Mike, yes, indeed, Reed. He came on. He was on the same card as the Dusty Harrison fight the last time he was on.
Okay, no problem. All right. Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. With that being said, I want to thank, like I said, you guys for showing up and spending the time to converse about crazy things that have been happening in sports, especially football right now. Tune in next week, 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Be the FSP crew show back in effect. With that being said, I want to thank you for listening, and we're out. Don't do this to me, Block Talk. Don't do this to me. Come on. Wow.
Good old Block Talk.
Oh,
good old
man.
Block.
Well, guys, I'm gonna end this show the old-fashioned way. I'm just gonna say good night.
Good night.
Because apparently Block Talk won't let me do anything else but that. So I'll talk to you guys next week, and we're out.